I am so pleased to be here this evening, and thank you for asking me. It's quite an honor. And, you know, I'm trying to think of what I would talk about tonight. When I was up at Winter Carnival, the one up in Bellevue, program last January, I went into great details about my drunkalog and all the things that happened. And so tonight I thought I'd do it a little different and talk about how the Big Book has helped me in my recovery. So that's what I decided to do. And when I came to AA, you said that you would love me until I could love myself. Those were the greatest words I could have ever heard, because I know from my background I never got nurtured or loved. I was born into an alcoholic family. My dad was the alcoholic and my mother was paranoid schizophrenic. And nobody was home. So it's been domestic violence in my childhood and a lot of abuse. And when my mother remarried, my stepdad had more addictions than my real dad. So it became even worse, and I was actually a real Cinderella, and that's how I was treated. And so things were another domestic violent marriage with more abuse. And guess what? I married an alcoholic. Domestic violence time. I was in a 30-year marriage of domestic violence and rape. I know that I married what I was used to today, and I drank to cover up the feelings and to pretend it never happened. You also told me that I would need to stay for the miracle, and I would like to share some of my miracles recently as I finish tonight. This program has given me a second chance of living. My bottom consisted of my husband trying to kill me one more time. That night, I knew I wouldn't make it home alive. I'd tried suicide several times because I was emotionally unable to do anything else. I was 3 years old, I found out, in the fourth and fifth steps. And I was totally without any options or answers. I'm totally clueless. And I just was a big zombie walking through as a good victim. And alcohol, of course, stuffed my feelings and kept me victimized. So I have come from a background that's probably not that different to a lot of people out there tonight. But I am so thrilled to say that we don't have to stay there. Thank God for the 12 steps and for AA. We can literally leave that life of hell, and move into heaven on earth. And I know today that hell is a state of mind and heaven on earth is a state of mind. And today I do live in heaven, which is the now. And the 12 steps has brought me out of the past drama, all those problems. And out of the worry of the future, which my mother had very big because she was from the Depression. And her fear of financial insecurity was rubbed off on me very well. So that was a huge lesson for me to overcome. Early in my recovery, Joe and Charlie came to town for the first time. And if you've heard of the Joe and Charlie tapes, I was fortunate enough to be at the first retreat or weekend. It was actually a hotel that we met at. And I had, not quite 2 years of sobriety at the time. And my husband and I were separated. We went through lots of separations first 5 years of our recovery. And so we were separated at that time. And he had tickets to the Joe and Charlie program. Joe and Charlie went all over the world, if you know, as Big Book scholars. And so he called about 12 people trying to get someone to go with him. And he finally, out of frustration, called me up and he said, "I can't find anybody to go. Will you go?" You know, so I was thrilled because I'd heard there weren't any tickets left. So I went with him, and at each intermission or coffee break, we'd go out to the car to discuss things, you know. And it was always turned into a big argument. And he had the radio on for music, and you wouldn't believe what was on the radio twice that weekend. 50 ways to leave your lover. God works in mysterious ways. Well, when Joe and Charlie had such a fantastic weekend, for me it was really cool because what I'd read out of the Big Book at that point wasn't clicking very well. My mind still wasn't working that well. And when they read it to me, I could get it from their point of view. And all of a sudden I got answers I'd never seen in the Big Book, and I'm reading it. So a few years later, one of the people in my home group at that time said, we're going to put together a four-step workshop based on the Joe and Charlie tapes. And we've got a person for every Saturday. They were going to trade off. Each Saturday, you had one Saturday to share. And do you want to be one of the four people? We're going to, you know, like the first Saturday will be so-and-so, and the next Saturday a different person will be doing it. And do you want to help us? So I'm honored to say that for over 20 years, I have chaired the four-step workshop. Somebody's always there at Reality Center over in Auburn from 10 to 12 on Saturdays. And my Saturday happens to be the fifth Saturday of the month, so I don't have to do it every time like I used to. But Joe and Charlie signed my Big Book, and even though my book is falling apart, it's my greatest treasure, and especially that they came and helped open the doors for me of what was wrong and what I needed to look at. And I just thought, and the things is, I read through the Big Book, really, really made an impact, because when I got here, you said I had to change everything. And in treatment, God literally took me by the hand and put me in treatment, because I didn't know I was an alcoholic. He was the problem, he drank. You know, if he just shaped his act up, I'd be fine. So in the doctor's opinion, it says, in this state, he confirms that we who have suffered alcoholic torture must believe that the body of the alcoholic is quite as abnormal as his mind. It did not satisfy us to be told that we could not control our drinking just because we were maladjusted to life. That we were in full flight from reality or outright mental defectives. This book was written for me, thank you. I qualify on all three counts. I got a strike. So what I know today is I was maladjusted to life because I picked up my mother's fear in the womb. I know that today. I've not only done lots and lots and lots of fourth and fifth steps, but I've also done counseling. And so I was already bonded to fear when I was born, and she was paranoid schizophrenic, and my dad, alcoholic, they fought every night. And that was what I went to bed with every night. Except one night, the door wasn't shut. So instead of hearing it through the walls and through the door shut, the door was open and I saw it. And I'm 3 years old and I went under the covers because I was scared to death. I had an umbilical cord connected from me to my mother, and it was like I was getting beat up too. I thought if I was under the covers and tightened up, really, really tight, really small, and you know how you wind up a violin string on a violin, just tighter and tighter and tighter, I would be so small he wouldn't find me to beat me up next. I was going to be next on the agenda. That's what my three-year-old head said. And so, not knowing what I was doing as a three-year-old, I also prayed to be taken off the face of the earth, because then he couldn't find me and beat me up. So I know, because of working the fourth and fifth steps, that I came in here as an emotional three-year-old. I went into a little shell of protection like a turtle shell, and I stayed there emotionally. I mean, I'm a retired teacher, I looked like a teacher, but inside a scared, spitless little girl. And I stayed there, except when I went out for parties and drank, and then I fit in, and I could have fun, and I could relax. Life is wonderful, and then I'd go home and it was the same old little scared girl again. So I was definitely maladjusted to life. Full flight from reality. Well, if your stepdad is beating you with a 2x4 bigger than he is, and I said, what did I do wrong? And he says, well, I'm only doing this because I love you. Who needs that kind of love? And that's the kind of love that was going on, which I don't call love today, I call abuse. I definitely was in full flight from reality. Love is reality. God is reality. And I ran the other way. Fortunately, today I'm in a relationship of unconditional love. And when we first started going together, there was a movie called A Beautiful Mind. and it was about a paranoid schizophrenic scientist, mathematician who had gotten the Nobel Peace Prize, not Peace Prize, but Nobel Prize for one of those prizes. And they made a movie of him, and seeing that movie gave me a flashback and put me right back into the paranoid schizophrenic I was raised with. And so that night, I got up in the middle of the night, put on my clothes, and I came home. I waited till 7 in the morning, however, to call my sponsor. I didn't get her up in the middle of the night. And told her what had gone on and how I felt. And she explained to me what had happened. And she says, you get yourself dressed and your butt back up there. You're going to learn to be around healthier people. He was pretty healthy. And my mind had flicked back out of the program. And love scared the hell out of me in those days. And so, thank goodness that's changed, but I definitely know how to run away from reality. In fact, that's what my bipolar was just behavioral, running from reality instead of drinking to stuff my feelings, I found out, so I'm no longer bipolar. Outright mental defectives. Well, when Dr. Bob, or rather Bill, when Bill in his chapter talks about the loneliness and the despair and the bitter morass of self-pity, and the loneliness and the despair and the self-pity, I understand that. That's all I knew because that's what my mother always preached, you know. Poor me, poor me. And in her case, she was addicted to prescription drugs. So she wasn't drinking, but I know Dr. Paul, who wrote Dr. Alcoholic, said when I saw him in Seattle at Seattle U one Saturday, said that, you know, prescription drugs are just a ultimate dry martini. And so it didn't matter. Really, if you were taking, in my case, the doctor gave me Valium, and so it didn't matter if I was using a pill or drinking. So I was outright mental defective. I was living in fear. When you're irrational and drugged, you can't, you're defective. And I've had to change my thinking in this program. So this program, when I read these different things in the book, it really made an impact on me. And it says, in the doctor's opinion, alcoholics cannot differentiate the true from the false. I thought that was amazing. I didn't know I wasn't living in the truth. I went to church all my life. You know, I did all the things that you're supposed to do to look good in society. So how could I be, what's the truth? And I heard at a program meeting one day, one particular AA meeting, and this fellow says, well, AA is a program where you search for the truth. And I thought that was amazing. Well, today I have a better understanding of that one. And then it says in the doctor's opinion, it talks about the psychic change. And I've learned to understand that quite a bit because I've been going through a lot of emotional changes from the fear to the love in my life that was missing. So, and you make these emotional shifts from one motivation to another, there is changes. And you move into a higher consciousness, and I believe that's exactly what this program's about. In fact, one of the things I read in There Is a Solution in the Big Book said, Creator has entered into our hearts and lives in a way in which is indeed miraculous. Now, that's not what my church taught. So for me, that was when they say you have to change things, that God was inside was totally new to me. I thought God was out there, and I was never going to be good enough. And he was for you, but I would never deserve that. I wasn't worthy. So I just accepted the battering and abuse. I was getting beat up every night, just like my mom was. And to me, that was humility. I'm no better than my mom, so why would I deserve anything better? And that I had a divine spark in my heart, the divine spark of a God source. That was just an amazing feeling for me that I had never, ever would have understood until I came here. So when they talk about the psychic change, it says, in fact, I've been trying to produce some emotional rearrangements. And what we do in my case is every time I do a step 7, I was told in meditation, when you release, the fear, guilt, or the shame, I came in here in a fog. I was in fear, obligation, and guilt. Walked around in a fog my whole life. And so as you release those things in the step 7, I was told to replace it immediately with love and grace. And that has made a huge change in my life. So It's a matter of changing my old ideas, but all of my emotions will change with it, and I'm starting to come out of depression and the hell that I've been living in. One of the things that really got my attention when I was in treatment, and I was reading the Big Book for the first time, and I came to page 51 that said, when you're able to say that the consciousness of the presence of God is today the most important fact of our lives, they present a powerful reason why one should have faith. And I puzzled over that sentence for years. That's just where I was. And one day it dawned on me that if I substituted good for God, the presence of good, and then it dawned on me the feeling good, I had never had feelings. No wonder I didn't feel good. I had been told by my mother, I went to talk to her after the first initial incest, and she says, don't feel that way. That's why I gave you dancing and music lessons, so those things wouldn't happen to you. And so she never would discuss it, or she wasn't available emotionally to discuss it. And so I was this frozen little ice cube of emotions, and I didn't feel a thing. And so I've been this is a program for me of thawing out so I can finally feel, and the love of God can finally flow through me. And you know, like an ice cube melts, and it can be like water, and it can flow. And so it's made a big difference for me to realize the presence is the feeling of good, and I want to feel good. You know, this really conflicted with my church, because the minister one day stood up there and said, it's not about feeling good. Well, I thought, well, why? I might as well go back out and drink then. You know, so it was, what I was hearing and what I was getting in AA didn't match. And one of the things that really helped me tremendously was on page 55, because it said, actually, we were fooling ourselves, for down deep in every man, woman, and child is the fundamental idea of God. It may be obscured by calamity, pomp, and by worship of other things, but in some form or other, it's there. We finally saw that, we found the great reality deep down within us. I found God deep down within me. The more fourth and fifth steps I've done, it's like peeling the onion. Peeling and peeling all the trauma, all the drama, all the craziness. And finally, there was God. It was an amazing feeling for me. I never lived in reality. I came in here, I was never lived in reality. Before I drank, I wasn't in reality. My family situation was not in reality, and I've had to come into understanding that and accepting it. And then it says in How It Works that we have to be constitutionally some people are constitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves. And I realized that my mother's mental condition was because she couldn't be honest with herself. It was too scary. The fearful story of her life, finally had enough guts to ask her about it, I realized that she had it worse than I did. And I'm going around boo-hooing. So, you know, she just couldn't come out of her fearful shell of protection. She never felt safe enough. You people have given me a safe haven to melt my feelings and come out of the shell and be able to be real. I called my sponsor today after I came out of the meeting, and I said, I know that I can cry with you, and I've got to tell you what happened at the meeting today, and it wasn't bad. It's just that some feelings came up about my son that I've been healing, and I cried about it and let it finish, hopefully, the last thing part of that to go. So rigorous honesty, they say in here, and they also say, we beg of you to be fearless and thorough from the very start. Now, for some reason, that really clicked with me. I'd seen an interview on television with Katharine Hepburn, the movie star, and Barbara Walters interviewed her. And during the interview, Katharine Hepburn said, I was raised to be fearless. That opened my eyes. I didn't know it was possible. I certainly wasn't there. But that became a goal of mine. And then I saw a television commercial with Tina Turner, and you've seen maybe the movie of her life, which wasn't all that much different than mine. And she, on this ad for Hanes Nylons, she's got great legs, makes the comment. She says, I don't limit myself anymore. And I found a limitless God. I don't limit myself because God is limitless and I'm a child of God. So that really made a big help for me. When I got to the fourth step and it said our liquor was but a symptom, we have to get down to the causes and conditions. I have worked and worked and worked to do that because, you see, I don't want to be a fear-based person anymore. I don't want to be a victim. I volunteered very well to be a victim, and I don't want to be a victim anymore. So what I know today is that if I look at these things and deal with the root cause, there aren't the symptoms anymore. And that's what's happened. I went to see a play in Seattle a month ago called Memphis. Now, God arranged this, there's no doubt in my mind. I went to see a musical that had four Tonys. It was produced in Seattle, which is highly unusual because Disney's the only one producing shows on Broadway because they have deep pockets, right? And local people put this on, raised $13 million to take it to Broadway and got four Tonys. And so I'm really excited to go see this show. It's a show about the 50s where the black singer gal, like a Diana Ross figure, is in love with the white DJ. And black is black and white is white in those days, and they go out in public and get beat up. And right in front of my face, I'm seeing my mother being beat up on the stage. The little girl inside of me just jumped right out, and that umbilical cord just went right up there. And I had enough program in me to say, Marilyn, you're sitting in the audience. And I've gone to Al-Anon as long as I've gone to AA. You can detach from that. And immediately that cord dissolved. And it's like I'm sitting in the audience and I'm observing the situation, telling myself it's really between the two of them and it had nothing to do with me. Now, my sponsor had told me this during one of my fifth steps, but it was up here. Intellectually, I knew that. But the emotional part that needed to be released finally came out, and I could finally experience that and detach from it, and I walked out of the theater feeling clean. I didn't have to save her, for one thing. And it wasn't a part of my problem. It was their problem. And my sponsor pointed out when we were talking about it that he always treated me like a little princess. But I was so afraid of him that he'd beat me up next, I never could open up and accept the love. That's the sad part. You know, so getting down to the root cause, I feel like today that has totally changed that situation, and I don't have to react off of that, which was the driving force in my life that I drank over. I don't have to react and be that little child anymore and be that victim because I'm a grown-up today. I looked in the mirror this last week, and for the first time in my life, I saw an adult. That's an amazing thing for me. So when we talk about this program, it says, when the spiritual malady is overcome, we straighten out mentally and physically. And I've used that process with my bipolar as well as my other medical problems and alcoholism and everything. I know today that it was a lack of love. And the symptoms were alcoholism or whatever illness or problem that you have. If you're out of balance with the cosmos. One of the things I found out about in steps, I skipped over somehow what I wanted to say in the chapter on the agnostics. Excuse me a minute here because it really made a difference for me. Here it is. It said in here, as soon as we admitted the possible existence of a creative intelligence, a spirit of the universe underlying the totality of things, we began to be possessed by a new sense of power and direction, provided we took other simple steps. I was sitting in a women's meeting early in recovery, and it was like there was a pizza box in my lap, and the lid popped up, And God went out into the universe, and no longer was God the God of my church, dogma and doctrine, but it was a bigger God. It was a God of the universe. And so I call the Spirit, my God is the Spirit of Love, because I know that was the love was what was missing in my life. I looked for love in all the wrong places. So we discovered we don't need another's conception of God. Our own conception, however inadequate, was sufficient to make the approach and to affect a contact with him. And so I finally had a heavenly Father that loved me unconditionally, no matter what had happened to me. I don't even want to drink. I don't want to spoil that love today that's inside of me and makes me feel good from head to toe and gives me the opportunity to have a chance to really enjoy life finally and to have that joy instead of waking up with the depression and all the problems of a hangover and et cetera that we go through. And I can wake up today and actually be in joy. And I believe that's part of my recovery today, is to have joy in my life. So when it says abandon yourself to God in our big book, to me that means that I have to let go of everything. It's just God in me. Those people just acted out the parts for me to learn faith, trust, love, forgiveness, and compassion. And if I can forgive everybody in my life today and love them from afar in some cases, I don't have to be right with them. You know, my family is not the healthiest to be around necessarily. But I can love them from afar, some of them closer if it's possible. And realize they're hurting. You know, they're hurting people. They came through, it says in our book that, you know, they're sick people too. And I can see them with compassion today. And because of that, I was able to actually be around my ex-husband for 48 hours when my grandsons, we have twin grandsons, graduated from high school. I was around my husband who tried to kill me several times and never lost my power once in 48 hours. And that's this program. So I want to say that thank you for all the miracles in my life, and that these things are being healed in my life. I could go on and on, but you know, this is a wonderful program, and it really has given me what I always wanted. It hasn't always been fun and easy, but it's worth staying around for the miracles. So I hope you do too. Thank you.